Jesus, I pray tonight that you would be strong in my weakness. Jesus, we want to know you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, I was going for a walk with one of my friends earlier this week, and we were talking about all that's going on with Black Lives Matter, trying to make sense of it for ourselves, and we want to do something positive, but not really knowing exactly what to do. And he started talking to me about how he had just played pool with a friend of his who's black, who's in his 60s, has a lot of wisdom. And I was jealous of that, to be honest. And I realized, like, I don't have any close friends who are black, which is not a good thing. And then I started to ask myself some questions about, like, why is that? I realized I've had some acquaintances along the way, some friendly people. I realized even the acquaintances I have, they've just come to me because people are at Maywood and they talk with me, they approach me, or other mutual friends or whatever. I realized, as I spent some time praying about it, here were two things that are weak in me about it. So the reality is, when I see a group of black people, I come into a room and see a group of black people, I have a feeling, a fear that they don't want anything to do with me, or that I don't have anything to offer them. I've had this feeling of like inadequacy, or like I don't have anything to give. And so then, if I'm like that, then it's pretty easy to see how you go through your life. You don't have real close black friends because I'm setting myself up to fail in making connections when I approach things that way, right? Now, everybody here has different hang-ups, different fears. But I think a lot of us, with whoever it's with, we struggle with that same sort of fear inside of us. Sometimes we feel like I am inadequate. I don't have anything to give. These people don't want anything to do with me. And if you come with that fear in your heart, then you're letting that fear steal the good things that you should have, the good connections that you should have. Right? So I want to read a verse to you. First verse of what we're going to be reading out of Ephesians chapter 2. If you've got a Bible, please turn there. We'll be in verse 19. And everything we've been reading in Ephesians, it's talking over and over and over and over and over again about how in Jesus is how all of this good stuff happens. So then, in verse 19, after saying that it's through Jesus that we have access to God the Father by the Holy Spirit, it says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Because if there's ever a group of people you don't feel comfortable around, you don't feel like they need anything from you or that you're worthy, as soon as somebody from that group says you're a part of us, it takes that fear away, right? It kills that fear. And what Jesus is saying here to you tonight is that I want you to be a part of my household. I want you to be a part of my family. The reality is, as long as you have fear about not being good enough inside of you, you cannot be complete in love. You won't have complete love in you. You can't completely love other people. And there'll be brokenness inside of you until you push that fear out and let God put his love in. Until you accept the love that's freely given right here. Jesus is just saying right there, I've made the way for you to be a part of the best group, for you to be worthy to be in this circle. So when we accept that and we let go of fear that somebody that I don't have anything to offer or I'm not good enough, then we're ready for real love, for real connection. So we're going to be building to that real connection, but there's a little bit more to read before we get there. So then in verse 20, it's talking about being a part of God's household. It says, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So it's the teachings of people like Paul, and the fastest way you can get to stuff like that is reading your Bible, right? So it's saying your life should be built on these truths that you find in the Bible. Then it says, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus, we're able to be a temple together. And it describes Jesus as the cornerstone. I'm not going to get into this one too much detail, but this idea of cornerstone is everything leans on the cornerstone. Everything gets put into place in regards to how it fits with the cornerstone. So the idea is, in your life, do you lean on Jesus? In your life, do you measure up? Do you measure things up and try to line up with Jesus? When you're thinking about how are you as a parent, how are you as a worker, how are you as whatever other thing that you are, you say, how do I line up with Jesus? Because he's my example. That's what it means with the cornerstone. So here's another thing that's true about the cornerstone, though, on the positive side. All those different blocks in the building, they get to lean on that cornerstone. And you get to lean on Jesus in your hard times. And the hard times are what show what's really there, right? Nobody ever thinks about a foundation until there's some big storm or some big problem or some big weight put on it. That's when you think about what's holding this whole thing up. And in your life, you don't really know what you're leaning on until things are hard. And then it shows you, like, what do you really care about? What are you really relying on? And hard stuff can be pretty small, unfortunately, at least like I prayed at the beginning. If you're weak like me, Elise, it can be hard, or it can be small stuff. So just like 4 hours ago, I was getting ready to officiate a wedding, and I'm in my office here at the church, and I know all the groomsmen are in this other little room we put groomsmen in here at the church. And I know from when I walked in that literally nobody else involved with the wedding at all is wearing masks. And I'm in my office, and I put the mask on, and I don't have hardly any room to walk around, but I literally like walk to go to the door, and then I literally stop like just a ridiculous person and like take the mask off because I'm like an 11-year-old kid and I'm embarrassed of it. And then I put it back on, and I like went back and forth like twice because I'm a fool, you know, like I'm that like, oh, this is going to be socially awkward. And it was. I got made fun of for being the only guy with the mask, you know, which is okay. But here was the reality. I did put the mask on, and I did get made fun of. And the reason for that was, you know, my daughter has an autoimmune disease, and I don't know that the masks do much of anything. But here's what I know. I know from my past and praying, when I do the little things that I know might help, and then I pray, I just feel a lot better about letting things sit with God. And when I know I could have done some stuff, but I didn't, and then I'm praying, I feel all this judgment even for myself. I feel like I can't even pray when I know, like, well, I didn't do my part. Now I'm asking God to do his part. So I put the mask on because of that. But here's the thing I'll tell you is, like, that showed in that moment a whole bunch of things about me, some weaknesses in me. But it also showed, like, I cared more about Sequoia than I did about pressing these other guys. And it's foolish of me to have to be, like, walking back and forth. If you guys could see me, I'm laughing because it's laughable that a grown man does that. But that's how I acted. And for you, I wonder, when push comes to shove, when things aren't easy, what do you really care about? Because those moments where things aren't easy, they show where do your loyalties really lie? What really matters to you? So answer that before we go on anymore. I know there's motorcycles and other stuff going on, but stop and think for just a second. Is Jesus the one who really matters to me? Is he the one I really lean on? Because we're going to get to a big payoff, but you can't get there without this other verse in the middle. If you're not willing to obey Jesus, put your trust in Jesus, because those are our two options in life, I think. We can either trust God and receive love, or we can live in fear. And we cover up fear with pride, and we cover up fear with anger and money and whatever else. But the reality is, at the core, I think, is either fear or trust. And if you trust God, there's this big payoff of that opens the door to his love, right?
Amen.
So let's read about this payoff, okay? So then you get to verse 22. And I don't need the notes. That's okay. You can hold them, Mark. So verse 22 It says, and in Jesus, which if you're keeping track, you're probably not, because like nobody has a Bible hardly, but it's like three or four times in like two sentences. It says in Jesus, through Jesus, in Jesus. And that's the way, if you've been paying attention to these sermons, all of Ephesians is like that. In Jesus, in Jesus, in Jesus, in Jesus. It's the only way it works. It says in Jesus, the whole building, that's everybody who follows Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, here's verse 22, and in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The purpose that God has for us as a church, the purpose that God has for every single Christian in this entire city and beyond, is that we would be built together into a house where he lives, where he dwells, where he hangs out and is present. We're being built together for that. All of Ephesians, all these yous that you see, they're always plural. It's always like you all. Paul right here, he's talking to all of us together. And he's saying, you all are being built together. If you've ever done any construction and you've put pieces together, you're normally pretty rough sometimes on those pieces. You're nailing them or hammering them or whatever to get them together so they can be something together. And when someone else comes along and sees what you finished, they don't see a whole bunch of pieces. They see a house. They see a church. They see a thing that's all one. And when God is through working on us, when Jesus is done working on us, there will be one, a unity, not that we're all the same, but a unity that all of us together house God. That God's fullness is there inside of us together. That's the purpose. You might have showed up today and be like, man, I wish I had a purpose. I wish I had some big goal, something to work for. This is it. God's purpose for you is to be with other Christians and together have God dwell with you.
Amen.
It's not to go out and do some big thing. It's not to go out and accomplish a lot. It's not to fix all your own problems. It's to let God work you together so he can show up more and more and more. And so, yeah, doing meth is going to mess that up. Or breaking all these other commandments is going to mess that up. But the goal isn't to stop doing all the bad stuff and end it there. The goal is to stop doing bad things so you can be full of all the goodness of God. I want to just camp out on this idea of being built together for God to dwell with us. So what does it look like for you? I'm all about praying on your own, reading the Bible on your own. Those things are good. Don't stop doing that if you're doing it. But this week, this passage, it talks about what are we doing together. You all showed up to church tonight. You know, it's not a Sunday, but you showed up. It's Saturday.
Yeah.
We're together in this moment. And it was different singing together tonight, right, than if you went and sang in your car. You could turn on some, you know, Spotify or whatever and listen to some super fancy band sing the same stuff, right? But it was different to be here together, right? It was different to have Chuck say, April shared something with me that touched my heart. Let's close our eyes and do it together. Like, that's different, right?
Yes.
It's different to have some 35-year-old guy talk about all these ways that like he's weak and kind of a mess, you know? And yet, we know that we're weak and a mess as a group. Like, that's true about Maywood. Like, we're not the best of the best or, like, the everythings, right? We're not Michael Jordan or something. We're not everything. And our pride gets in our way, like Matt was talking about. But what we see, what we know also here at Maywood, is that we see God do a lot of spectacular things that's better than any Michael Jordan or anyone else could do, right? That's why we're here. But the reality is, showing up for an hour or even 2 hours, if you came to the first thing we did in the courtyard, it's not our whole lives, right? And you're going to need more. And you're going to want more. So here's my push for you this week, a few ideas for you. Why not get together with a couple other people from this group right here tonight? Why not get together with them and pray this week before you go to work, before you do whatever you do. So I've got a couple guys who work real jobs, work full-time jobs, hard time, lots on their plate, and they show up really early in the morning and we pray together. And it's the longest time that I pray all week because I'm not as good of a person as I should be, right? But it's a lot easier to pray for a long time when you're praying with a couple other people, right? And it's good, and it's more powerful than when I pray by myself. And I believe that like God wants to show up and hang out with us and is happy that we're getting together and praying. If you think my purpose this week is to be a dwelling place for God, then you want to include some other people in that, right? The cool thing is, like, stuff changes. The prayer time's different because of the other two guys who show up. And when only one of the other ones show up, it's different than when it's the three of us, right? It's just like Chrissy and I keep adding stuff to our yard because we've got the kids kind of stuck at home all summer. But we add really different stuff. You know, like, I put together this balance beam that's made out of, like, scrap random pieces of junk in our, you know, I put together a balance beam for Sequoia because she likes gymnastics stuff. Chrissy's having us buy these like fancier playset things and putting that together. You know, the other day I was cutting up some wood with a hacksaw, and because I don't have a chainsaw, and I've gotten made fun of for some people with stuff I've tried to cut up with a hacksaw before. So maybe you've heard about that. But poor Samuel's outside with me. He sees me cutting up some wood, and he doesn't know any better, so he's impressed with that, and he really wants to help. So I had him help. You know, we cut stuff up to where it's almost about to break, and then I pick him up and like let him break it, you know, like with his feet. And he loved it for about 30 minutes, which is really a long time for Samuel. Like, he's three. 30 minutes. It was like, this is the longest we've done any one thing for quite a while. But then he got done with it, and there's still a lot more wood to do. And I thought, you know, he's playing with his sister. Like, I could get the rest of this done. But I decided, like, the best use of this random junk wood is to have another one of those experiences with Samuel. So I just put it all away because I know, like, another day this week he'll be super excited to do it for a half hour again. Because the reason that whole backyard is set up is to hang out with Samuel and Sequoia. And it looks a lot different because Chrissy's involved than if I were just involved. But together it's better for them to hang out in it. That's what God wants us to be for him. He wants us getting together with other people and setting up a space to hang out with him and saying, it's not so important what we get done, or it's not so important that this or that thing looks great or whatever. It's important that we're together with God. God literally wants to dwell with us. This passage doesn't specifically say God wants to dwell with you, Brian, or you, Darren. It's you, Darren, and Brian together with Abram there with you or whatever. You know, it's this idea of together is the thing he's really shooting for. Thank you so much. Awesome. Very helpful. So, praying together is something you could do. Tomorrow morning, some guys are going to get together, read the Bible together. Is that at 10 or 10:30, Kyle? When is that? 10:30. So you're going to be in the courtyard. If you want to get together with some guys, if you're male, they'll be doing that at 10:30. Wednesday night at 6:30, I think we've got some ladies getting together doing Bible studies. You can read the Bible with some other people. It's better to read the Bible together. You'll get stuff out of it that's not already the stuff you already know. Listen to the other people. Don't worry about having a good idea to share. Listen to the other people, and God will show up in that. What if you got together with some other people and you did something for somebody else? Would God show up in that, hang out in that? You know, we've got some folks here that have got gifts with music. They've been going out and leading music in neighborhoods as a way to just give back to people. Like, God's showing up when they do that. So God gave us a beautiful night tonight. God gave us each other. Don't leave here with the lie that you don't have something to share, because that's not true according to this verse. Jesus has done whatever he needed to do, and now you are ready to be a part of this family. As soon as you say, Jesus, I want to be a part of your family, yes, Jesus will get you started.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
And then as soon as you start teaming up with other people, Jesus will build you together. You start being honest and saying, we need Jesus, let's pray, let's read a little bit of the Bible together. Jesus will make amazing things happen, and he will hang out with you. So I'm going to close this in prayer tonight. We don't do our response time like we used to because of all this corona stuff, but here's how we've been doing it. We've been doing an individual prayer time where you kind of make a commitment to God. You kind of repeat after me. So let's do that again. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, I don't want to live in fear anymore. And Jesus, I believe you that I'm a part of the family. Jesus, you're my cornerstone. Jesus, I want to look at you and copy. Jesus, I want to lean on you. Jesus, build me together with at least two other Christians this week. Jesus, dwell, hang out, linger with me and at least a couple other Christians this week. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I trust you. And Jesus, I'm yours. Amen.